Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Bishop Will T. Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life, power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teachings opportunity, please visit www.cccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15, must study, showing thyself approved unto Jehovah, a workman, needing not to be ashamed, but rightly divine word of truth. Shalom.
The Bible said in the last days, people would be unthankful. And so for us as the children of Yahweh to be thankful, not only to God, but to anybody else who do a good deed for us. And if you are thankful, Yahweh will bless you tremendously. So I delivered that message because I know in my experience over the last 40 years or so of preaching the gospel that sometimes we forget. We get in a mode of life, and some of the real important things that has blessed us up to a point, we began to let slip. And that's what the apostle Shaul would keep teaching. Except he says, I'm not telling you anything new, but I want to stir up what you already know. And so today I'm going to try to do the same thing. So today I'm going to talk a bit about taking the initiative. Taking the initiative, meaning to act without being prodded to act. There's three types of people in the world. There's some divergence from these three, but basically there are three types of people in the world, and there are three types of people in the church. The reason that the world and the church or exhibiting the same thing to some degree is because believers have not allowed the Spirit and the Word to work His perfect will in their lives. And so we are at stages of growth, and we have not yet developed fully in the faith. Now, that's not a criticism, is just a statement of facts. So today I want to help us do that. The three types of people, number one, are those that wait. That sounds like good, don't it? You know, the Yeshayahu said, they that wait upon Yahweh shall renew their strength. And so some people take that as they're supposed to just sit down and wait. There are some people that are just waiting for blessings to come. They are not doing anything. You say, what are you doing? You say, I say, I'm waiting for God to bless me. That type of person doesn't end up well in the faith. And then there are those who will go if somebody goes with them. They need someone to hold their hand. They have the ability to go. They really want to go and do the work of Yahweh, but they just have to have somebody that'll go with them. And then you have those that will act upon what they believe regardless of the consequences. Those are the ones that make an impact, not only in the world, but they make an impact in the church. So first, let's talk about the waiter. The whole idea of waiting is not sitting down. How many of you have gone to a restaurant and somebody is there to serve you? What do we call them? Waiters. They are not standing there just waiting. They are what? They are serving. And so those who wait are those who become discouraged because they do not receive the blessings of Yahweh. They become distraught. And they become cynical. And they are the complainers in the church. How many of you know some complainers? Everything, they got a complaint about everything. And even when God bless them, you know what they will say? Yeah, it looked like he blessed me now, but I'm waiting for the other shoe to fall. It can't be that I'm just blessed, right? God is not going to keep blessing me. Those are the waiters. And I'm going to talk about that in the scripture that we normally don't use for that purpose, but we will today. Let's look at Yohanan, which you call John, the 5th chapter. If you got it, say, I got it. Okay, 5th chapter. And let's start reading, if we would, at the 2nd verse. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folks, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. For those who don't believe in miracles, this just shoot a hole in your theory, doesn't it? Because here is a supernatural miracles taking place. Now, it doesn't mean that the first person jumps in is the only one get healed. But what it means is the first persons, after a number of persons are healed, then the healing stops. And so here, supernaturally, Yahweh has sent his angel. In the Greek, his angelos. In the Hebrew, his malach. He has sent him to bring healing to a pool that was simply water. But when God enters into something, it becomes supernatural. So even if it's water, when he enters in, it becomes supernatural water. Y'all not getting it. Amen. So we say, well, you know, when you get baptized, you're just getting wet. But see, because the name of Yeshua is in the water, it becomes supernatural water. Amen. And so when you enter in, something supernatural happens to you. Amen. The old man is cut away. And you arise to walk in the newness of life. Now, not the first time you went in the water. You was out at the beach last week and jumped in the ocean and nothing happened. But when you add God to anything, it becomes supernatural. Amen. And miracles happen when Yahweh is involved. That's why you ought to keep him always involved in your life. Because if he's involved in your life, then supernatural things will happen in your life. Hallelujah. And people
will not understand how you got blessed like you got blessed. Amen. All you can say is, Yahweh is in my life. And because he's in my life, some supernatural things occur. Amen. Healing occur. For diseases which the doctors say you can't get well from. Amen. Amen. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. I remember I went to see Sister Moran. Sister Moran, oh, she looked nice. Where's Sister Moran? You would think she ain't been as sick a day in her life. But she was in the hospital and looked like she wasn't going to come out. Had been in there 3 or 4 months. And I went to pray for her. And I brought Yeshua to the hospital room. Amen. And because of that, something supernatural happened. Are y'all understanding what I'm talking about? But you got to believe this now. So Yahweh would send his Moloch to that water. And once Yahweh got involved in the water, anybody jumped in, had a supernatural miracle happen to them. Hallelujah. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Now we feel sorry for this man. But this word infirmity is a Greek word asthenia. And it means a weakness. It means that the person might not have had a definite disease that could have been identified. Y'all know what I'm trying to say? Yeah. See, sometimes you get what you think is sick, but the doctors can't find out what's making you sick. Amen. And sometimes it's you making you sick. Oh, God. Amen. A bad attitude makes you sick. Huh? Depression makes you sick. Hallelujah. And that's you involved in that. Because if you believe, you add Yahweh to your life and the depression has to go. Amen. It has to go. So this man, it really didn't say, it didn't use the word nosos, which would indicate a disease. It used the word asthenia, which said he was weak and want of strength. But he's been in this condition 38 years. Hallelujah. How many of you have been to the doctor and you think you're sick, but the doctor can't find nothing wrong with you? Now, don't raise your hand. The doctor can't find anything wrong with you. But you're sick as far as you're concerned. And if you believe you're sick, you're sick. Amen. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Yeshua saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Isn't that a sort of like a ridiculous question? Here's a man laying at the pool who evidently wants to get in and be healed, and Yeshua would ask him this question, "Do you want to be made whole?" Something else is going on here. Wouldn't you think? Something else is going on here. Yeshua is trying to stir this man to consider his thinking, his attitude. You are laying here 38 years. You could have been whole already, but you're still laying here. See, you've been sick a long time, but you could have been healed already, but you're still sick. And so Yeshua said to him, do you want to really be made whole? Are you ready to stop laying around and exert some energy toward your healing? Amen. And this is what the man said. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. I don't have anybody when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But While I am coming, other words, he can move because he said he would be coming to the pool, but he's so slow because he's weak. While I'm coming, another step down before me. Well, let's ask ourselves a question. Why didn't he get closer to the pool? But he's waiting for somebody to help him. But he could have started toward the pool and was laying on the edge of the pool so that when the water was troubled, he could roll over. See, that's why Yeshua said, do you want to be made whole? Man, you laying around here 100 yards from the pool. And all you had to do, just creep on up there. You so slow, you said you could get there because you were coming. But just before you got to the edge of the pool, somebody made a dive. You missed out. See, some people, these are the waiters. You are laying around waiting for somebody to help you. You better get up and help yourself. Amen. I'm waiting for somebody to help me. Yeshua said unto him, okay, then rise up. He didn't say to that man, you're healed. Did you notice that? He didn't say you are healed. That's not what he said. He said, and Yeshua said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. He never said you're healed. He never slapped him upside the head and put some oil on him. He said, if you want to be healed, get up and make an attempt. Are you getting it? See, the waiters don't want to get up and make an attempt. They want some blessing, but they want the blessing to come to them. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And those are the ones. Now watch this. Ninth verse. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. So we don't want to deal with that. It simply means he wasn't supposed to be carrying no bed on the Sabbath. And they got on him about that. See, you got some religious folks who don't want to see you blessed. They don't even believe in miracles. And here you walking around with a bed on your back. You ain't supposed to carry nothing on the Sabbath. Now, they knew the man. They knew he would land at the pool 38 years. But they see him walking with his bed, and they're going to get on him. What you doing? You're not supposed to be working on the Sabbath. So the waiters are waiting. And this is why they become cynical. See, this man had become depressed. He had become distraught. He had become cynical. He didn't believe he could be helped. And though he lay there, but the only reason he laid there, because there was nowhere else to lay. His people probably got tired of him, and they just brought him there and dumped him there at the pool. You know how ready this can get? They get tired of you laying around moaning and groaning, and then gonna jump up and talk about how good a Christian you are. I know the Lord. Oh, my God, I'm sick. Oh, my God can do anything but fail. Oh, I don't know what I'm about to die. I was driving home the other day, well, on Mother's Day, just before Mother's Day. And I saw this sign at this Presbyterian church. And the sign says, because God can't be everywhere, he made mothers. And I thought, how in the world can they be? They call themselves believers? They don't believe God can be everywhere? They don't believe God is without limits? If you don't believe God is without limits, then you don't believe he's God. And that's how some people in the church is. They just don't believe he's a healer. Amen. I'd rather die believing than to lay around in disbelief. Amen. And then you have those, the second one, are those who will not go except somebody hold their hand. Have you seen those, that kind? They got to have somebody holding their hand. Now look at Shaphtim. You call it Judges. And I'm not doing this when I talk about this and I use the correct names. I'm not doing it to shame anybody. I'm doing it because it is the right thing to do. We have so long labored with wrong, erroneous things that it's about time that we start operating in the truth. Amen. So let me set you up of what's going on here. Israel in this era of the Shaphtims, the judges, are people who keep getting delivered. And then once they get delivered over a period of time, they are back in their sin. You know anybody like that? How many of you know somebody like that? They get delivered and they're back in their sin. So Yahweh sent judges, men who he would anoint. And normally they were sometimes they were warriors. And they were sent to deliver Israel. Now, when they went back into their sins, the reason they need deliverance is because God can't bless folks who are in sin. And so they had a lot of enemies around about them. So when Yahweh removed his protection from them, the enemy came in and oppressed them. And so this had happened. Sisera, the general, had come in and oppressed them for 20 years. But they had two people in Israel. They had a man named Barak, not Barack Obama. A man named Barak, who was a powerful warrior, but he had some problems. Then he had a woman named Deborah. Or sometimes they would pronounce her name Deborah. And the Bible said Deborah was a prophetess. And it said Deborah dressed herself up and went down and sat under the tree of Deborah, who was Abraham's wife's nurse that he had buried there. And she sat under the tree. It didn't say God set her there. It says she went down and sat under the tree. And people saw her sitting under the tree. They knew she was a prophetess, so everybody went to her. And she became the judge of Israel, not by God calling her, but by Barak, who should have been the man, but he needed somebody to go with him. And so then she sent a message to Barak. And here's what she said in the sixth verse. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Benanam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, has not Yahweh Elohim of Israel commanded you, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor and take with you 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun or Zebulun. So listen to what she said. Hasn't Yahweh commanded you to go and to get these warriors and go and deliver Israel? See, it's obvious that God had called him to be the judge. But listen to what he said. And here's what she said, Yahweh said. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Javan's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thy hand. That's what God had told. God said, I'm gonna, if you'll just move on my word, go and get these soldiers. And I want you to go down by Mount Tabor. And what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna deliver Sisera into your hand. And you're gonna defeat him. And listen to Barak. And Barak said unto her, if thou will not go with me, then I will. Now, if thou will go with me, then I will what? Go. This is the person who would go, who could go, but they need somebody to hold their hand. Now, this woman was not a warrior, but she was a prophetess. So he said, I won't go except you go with me. But God told you to go. Yahweh told you to go. But I won't go except you go with me. Are y'all understanding this? Yahweh has said something to you. But you said, I won't do it except somebody verify what God said. And not only that, I want them to go with me. I need somebody to hold my hand. See, I can fight, but I just need somebody. I need some friends. Are y'all understanding what I'm trying to say? See, I do God's will. But I got to have some friends that'll go with me. Oh God. Those are those that need somebody to hold their hand. And of course, she held his hand. And he went down and defeated the army. But you don't read about him anymore. See, when Yahweh calls you to do something, you better get up and do it. Huh? Because you don't need no friends to go with you. Huh? If Yahweh calls you, he's enough. The word of Yahweh said, if Yahweh be on our side, he's more than the whole world against us. But see, people have these deficiencies, these mental deficiencies. One has got to come to me. The other, somebody got to go with me. And then you have the third one. Those who will act upon what they believe regardless of the consequences. Those are the ones that are blessed and get things done. Look at Shmuel 17. Now, I don't see a clock, so you all have to keep me posted. I'm not very good on time. In fact, today I said to the brothers, I'm going to finish early. And they start looking at each other, for they know what that means. It doesn't mean that I try, but it means that when I say I'm going to quit early, something just happened. And I stay a little later than I normally will. Shmuel 17:26. If you got it, say I got it. Here, if I could bring you up to speed, the children of Israel are in battle, or arrayed in battle with the Philistines. And they have a giant. You know, back in the day, rather than everybody fighting, sometimes they bring out their best warrior. And they said, if you got somebody to match my best warrior, let them fight, and then whoever wins, that's the one win. We call him Goliath, but his name was not exactly that. But anyway, he came out, man, and he boasted, and he talking trash. Y'all know what I mean? Y'all know y'all hear folks doing that all the time, don't you? He talking trash, man. He's saying, who y'all gonna come out here and get me? I'll show you something. None of you can whoop me. I can stomp you down like a dog if you come out here. And he was a big man. And Israel, the army of Yahweh, was trembling in their boots, scared to death. And here's a little shepherd boy named David who came out, show you how young he was. He came out, his daddy sent him out to take some food to his brothers who were soldiers out there. So he came out with a lunch basket to bring them some food. And he looked and he saw what was going on. And listened to him. 26th verse. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the army of the living Yahweh? See, you got some folks, they'll act. When they believe something, they believe God is in something, they'll act upon it if nobody goes with them. You all wouldn't be here today worshiping in the name of Yeshua if I stood around waiting for other folks to join me. But you are here because I took the initiative. I said, that is his name. I have found out it is true. I'm going to act on that. And I said to the people, if you want to leave, nothing I can do. But I'm baptizing in Yeshua's name. I'm going fully in Yeshua's name. If I don't have nobody that goes with me, I'm going. All right. Hallelujah. And my minister friend, because I had some, we was in organization, we'd have service together. They cut me loose. Will gone crazy. Will is going into error. But those men who is over the United States now, Bishop Perkins and all those men, you know what they said to me? They said, we believe that you will not lead us into error. And we believe that if you believes it and we believe you will show that to us, we will do the same thing. And I said to them, I'm not commanding you to do nothing. I'm not saying you have to do this. All I'm saying is that this is what I believe and this is what I'm going to do. Some people, and I'm not praising myself because you ought to be the same kind of person. When you know God is in something, you don't go to your family and they say, oh, you joining Jimmy Jones, and then you back out. I know what I mean. Even though it can be proven that his name is Yeshua. So David said, who is? Y'all sitting around here trembling. I just got here. But I know one thing for sure. An uncircumcised Philistine is going to stand up against the army of Yahweh. I won't have it. But you're just a little boy. He said, I don't care. Saul said, here, take my armor. And David put on his armor. And it's hanging all around. Well, he's a young kid. Just hanging all around. He said, no, I don't need this. All I need is my slingshot and God. Use what you got. All I have is a slingshot. And I have Yahweh on my side. Yeah. 45th verse. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear. Of course, that Philistine spear was as long as this row of seats here. David couldn't get no close to it. His shield weighed something like 100 and some pounds. And he says, you come to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of Yahweh Zebiot. I come to you in the name of Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh who rules the heavenly kingdom. I come to you in his name. And the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Listen to his testimony. This day will Yahweh deliver thee into my hand. Huh? Not this day I'm so big and bad that I can take care of business. But this day, the God I serve, look at your neighbor and say, this day, the God I serve will deliver the enemy into my hand. Hallelujah. This day. I said this day. Not tomorrow. Not next month. But right now. Whatever the enemy is trying to do to me, Yahweh of hosts will deliver him into my hand. This day. This day. You've been sitting around waiting for deliverance. Huh? Or you wouldn't go out and get your deliverance because you didn't have nobody to go with you. But you better get up and say, today I got Yahweh on my side. I got Yahweh on my side. This day. Somebody say this day. Will Yahweh deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee. Listen at this testimony. Huh? I'm gonna cut you down, man. You know what Golitha said? Golitha said, am I a dog? He said that before we got here. That they would send out this little skinny brat to fight me? I mean, he was amazed. This little runt. Don't even have a shield. Don't even have a spear. Don't even have a sword. Got a little bag hanging on his side and a little slingshot in his hand. But see what Golitha didn't know. This little boy had Yahweh on his side. And he will deliver thee into mine hand. And I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. You talking about that? He done got stirred up in God. Listen at him. See, at first he said, talk, but now, man, when he made that statement, I have Yahweh of hosts on my side. Then he began to brag. Do you know what halal means? Praise Yahweh. You know what halal means when you say praise? It means boast. That's the real meaning of boast. He's boasting. You say, well, it's bad to boast. It's not, he's not boasting in himself. He's boasting in Yahweh. This day will Yahweh deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and I will and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is no God except the one that's in Israel. You want everybody to know there is no God, no Savior except Yeshua. You evil spirit, I'm going to wrap you up. I'm going to knock off your head. I'm going to stomp you in the ground. And everybody will know that there's but one God, and that's Yahweh of hosts. There's one God. There's no other God. And what he said, and I'm going to prove that today, this day. I'm going to prove that this day. His name, Philistine is the name of the, now, for those people, you see, you got to start taking the initiative right now. You can't wait for folks. And you can't wait for your blessing. You got to go out and get it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you have to take the initiative in everything as in service to Yahweh. And I want to show you something. Look at Tehillim 34. You call it Psalms. And maybe I'll end at this. I know time is going by, right? Yeah, but the people of the hotel say it might be good, but you got to get out of here. Oh, I do have a clock. Are we okay? We're fine. 34th division of Psalm, first verse. I'm going to show you about taking initiative. I will. Somebody say, I will. See, I'm going to do what? I'm going to take the initiative. I ain't waiting on nobody. I will. I'm not saying I and my friend will. Huh? I'm not saying I and my mama will. My and my daddy will. I and my brother will. I will. And if daddy and brother won't come, I will. I will bless Yahweh at all times. See, I'm going to take the initiative. You can be sitting around not wanting to praise him, but I will bless Yahweh at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will. You can sit in your seats all you want to. You can sit there trying to look sadiddy. You can sit there trying to look sweet or looking bad. But I'm going to praise Yahweh at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. And I don't care if nobody else joins me. I don't care if anybody else praises him with me. But this is what I'm going to do. I'm taking the initiative. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I'm taking the initiative. I'm taking the initiative. I will. I will. I will. Bless Yahweh at all times. Hallelujah. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. My soul, somebody say my soul. My soul shall make her boast in Yahweh. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Somebody will hear it. Who down in the dumps. Who the devil is breaking them over the coals. They'll hear my testimony. They'll hear my praise. And they will be glad that somebody. That somebody took the initiative. My soul shall make her boast in Yahweh. The humble shall hear of, hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify Yahweh with me. Look, you don't have to, but I'm just encouraging you because I'm already doing it. Huh? Because I will bless Yahweh at all times. I'm going to do it anyway. But I'm saying to you, oh, bless Yahweh with me. Bless him with me. And let us exalt his name. How? To what? Together. Yeshdav. Yeshdav, Hebrew Yeshdav. Together. In the same place. This Yeshdav means let's bless him in the same place at the same time. In the same place at But the same time, we got to start taking the initiative. Hallelujah. If we don't take the initiative, who will? If we won't stand up, who will? If we won't bless him, who will? If we won't go fight the battle, who will? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I will. I will. I will. I will. I will. Yeshua said, and I'll end here. Yeshua said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on Nahashim, which is the devil, and Akar Ravine, which is his little evil spirit, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And you have the audacity to be sitting around shaking in your boots about what Satan is doing to you. I will. Look at your neighbor against your neighbor. I will. If nobody else will, I will. Say, neighbor, if nobody else will go, I'll go. Neighbor, if nobody else will praise him, I will. I will. I will. I've lived my life saying, I will. I will. Father Yahweh, in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we thank you. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We thank you that if we hide your word in our heart, we will not sin against you. Let your people begin to understand that they have to take the initiative. They have to act on your word. That those who unlearn might see and be glad. We thank you in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen. Everybody can be seated. I'm going to right now give anybody in here